The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Johnny Hill is in the house with us. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to ask this question. Are we a sanctuary? Now, you got to think about that. We're going to deal with that in a second. Plus, what Jesus said about himself matters, but what others say about Jesus, not so much. And then finally, finding the path that we're trying to walk, can we ever be utilizing our inner bell, our self-siren, or our spidey senses?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Kind of like better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. How much more? Just a lot more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. We do have trivia. Any praise reports are cool. Prayer requests are cool. Stuff is cool. You know, to talking to one another. That's a good thing. Any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. I think after 150 shows on the Texas station, I have proved that it is not professional radio. After basically 1,500 shows, 3,000 hours, I have proved. Professional? Not a chance. But it is a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we always acknowledge people that help us try and get things rolling. So we want to give some props to Clint and to his company, Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
That's right. There's no song. There's no song like that anywhere. Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in and around the Dallas, Texas area, in and around Fort Worth, in and around Denton, in and around Grapevine, in and around north, south, east, west. I think that's all the directions. Let's see, north, south, east, west, up and down. All of it, 24-hour emergency service. They have free evaluations, advanced drying techniques. They work with all insurance companies. They are A-plus rated with the BBB. They have 50 years of restoration experience and thousands. That's a lot. Thousands of happy customers. That's what you want. Mr. Restore. The way to get in touch with them, MrRestore.com. Mr. as in MR, as in MR, Restore.com. Their phone number, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Any fire, water, smoke damage whatsoever, any sewage problems, get in touch with Mr. Restore. Tell him you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. In studio with me, the man, the myth, the legend. Is that good? That's not bad.
That's over the top, David.
That's over the top a little. All right. The man with the Mr. Johnny Hill. How are you, Johnny?
I am wonderful. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. Johnny is the owner of Men of God Moving. And that website, by the way, menofgodmoving.com. And I said, how you doing this week? You know what he said? He said, what'd you say, physically strained?
That's an accurate assessment.
Okay, so you've been doing a lot of work then.
A lot of physical work. A lot of ministry work, but the physical to boot.
All right. A lot of people are not may not be aware, but that Johnny's had a couple of experiences in the Lord that are kind of unique. And actually, they connect to our Wonder Julie, who's also had very tough experiences. Wonder Julie has had I don't want to speak it for you, but you were on a helicopter that was supposed to stay up but decided not to, right?
I mean, correct. And a plane. And I've had a house fire.
Fire.
It just keeps clicking on by.
I'm not traveling with you. I'm not going with you. You can. If I had a bike, I'd make you go way ahead of me so that I didn't have a problem. And then Johnny had something that was pretty traumatic in his experience. You jumped into a pool and then were stuck at the bottom. Is that kind of a way to say
yes,
it?
Yes, I was. I broke my neck and I died. And the good Lord resurrected me from the dead.
He's the reason it says no diving on the low end.
There it is, right there. Wonder Julie, nailing it down. You are the reason there are no diving signs. That is classic.
I look at those signs differently now.
Yeah, you look at that a lot differently. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're losing our minds. Before we get into full losing our mind, I do want to tell you what holiday it is. You probably don't know. Most people don't. Do you have any idea, Wonder Julie, what holiday
I do not.
All right. I just want to say it's National Bologna Day. So I'm going to say.
Well, this show fits right in.
Exactly. Did you have bologna when you were younger? Did you have like bologna sandwiches?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, even as a Jewish guy who became a Christian, I had bologna sandwiches. We had bologna. My mom would make Wonder Bread, bologna, and mustard.
My mother would take the bologna, grind it up, add Miracle Whip and pickles so it would become a spread.
Like Spam?
Yeah. No, Spam's is kind of in gel. It was kind of like potted meat.
We're having trouble here, folks. We're all descending.
The wheels have come off.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. I want Johnny's going to hang out with me the whole show. We're going to do this show together, and he's going to give his input. I want to start off just by talking about something that's in Exodus. Believe it or not. So a lot of people don't realize that in Scripture, between Genesis 1-1 and Revelation 22-21, all 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, with 40 authors, there is some amazing things that are spoken. In Exodus 25-8, it says this, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." Now, in context, this is about constructing a corporate sanctuary. The Lord said, hey, bring together a sanctuary that I can dwell there. Now watch this. But in application, it is not just corporate, but it is also personal. Because we do know that we need to have a kind of a corporate gathering. But what about when the Lord gathers with just you? Are you individually a sanctuary? See where I'm going with that? Like a sanctuary in the Lord. I mean, here's the key. God desires and requires personal and corporate preparations to engage with him. Do you ever? I mean, it's not a lot of people. They get really excited about a football game. I mean, it was good that Dallas beat Philadelphia. I mean, if you're from Texas, you're thinking that was good. That's good. But they get really pumped up for the game. You see people driving down the road with the little flags, and you know, still driving in multiple lanes. But I mean, they're still driving down the road. Do you get pumped up when you get to meet with the Lord? Because sometimes I do, and then sometimes I think, oh, I just got to get there. Right? Do you ever go through that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think it's very important. We're the temple. The body's the temple. And we have to act accordingly.
Do you ever, in your preparations to meet with the Lord, is that your devotion time? Is that where you're like, hey, I'm separating myself from everything so the Lord and I can be together?
To be honest, I do it a little differently. I do it on a almost on a 24-hour basis.
Wow.
I consult God about any and everything. I take it literally when the Bible tells us to pray at all times. And I consult God on any and everything.
So you're like Brother Lawrence back in the day was a guy that used to do this element called practicing his presence. Amen. And practicing his presence, really kind of a cool principle. Don't get all, oh, that guy's got a weird background. Listen, if you thought about God as much as he did, you wouldn't say that. So the bottom line is he would just every 15 minutes, he would check to make sure how far he had strayed to pull himself back wow. to be considering God.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I could die every 15 minutes. Every 15 hours I could do every 15 minutes. That would be difficult for me to do. But I do think that there's this preparation. Even when you go to church, you know, it's like – and I said this yesterday. You're not going to – it's not like you're doing the church a favor because right. you're showing up to church. You're meeting with God. Now, I don't care if you're Baptist or Pentecostal. I don't care if you're Methodist or Lutheran. I don't care what your background is from a scriptural point of view, what church you're going to. If you're going to the Church of Christ, fantastic. Going to a Bible-believing Presbyterian church, I don't care. Okay, as long as it's Bible-believing. But you're meeting with God, right? What if you, an alien landed in Washington and the alien has said, hey, I wanna meet with Johnny Hill. Have Johnny Hill come on over. Boy, you'd be prepped.
Right.
You'd be ready, right? Well, there you go, only it's not a small little alien. It's the creator of the universe.
Mm.
Wow. That's a challenge, isn't it?
That is a challenge.
Yeah. What do you think when you have a scripture like, and I think we only got like a minute. What do we got, like a 2 minutes, 3 minutes? All right, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Hike. What do you think when it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you? What does that make you think, you know, like in context it has to do with prostitutes, shrine prostitutes and so on. And we understand that. But in application again, you're still – the Holy Spirit lives in you. I mean, you're not mm-hmm. your own. So Amen. What does that make you think? What kind of runs through your – like, wow, that's, you know.
Well, considering that God is a holy God and we're the temple, then – we have to be mindful of what we allow into the temple. And I try to go through life considering my past and the amount of things that I allowed in the temple in my prior before I was saved. I'm mindful of it now. I'm really conscientious of it. What I look at on television, if at all, what I listen to, what type of music. It's a temple. And I have to be cautious of what I allow into that temple, because this is where God resides, or where he's supposed to reside.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Right. Excellent. I mean, see, that's a great point. Got to be a lot more aware. Now, back then, it was like there was no filter. Now there had better be a filter. Okay, so that's the encouragement for everybody. Just so you can be aware, so we're going to do the whole show together. We're going to do a couple of different topics. I'm going to talk about it and give Johnny a chance to kind of engage with me on it and talk. I do want you to know there's some trivia coming. Some of it's easier than others. That's all I'm saying. One of them I got wrong. I don't know everything. I just tell my wife that. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
Dr. Robert Jeffress on hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes. It's called hell. But, you know,
that's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But You have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, as soon as I find my piece of paper, there it is. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com if you enjoy the show. That's great to know, and it's encouraging to hear that. And then if you like to hear, like, as Johnny is kind of moving in and doing ministry, if you enjoy hearing from Johnny, let me know. I'll tell him you said so. And if you say something really bad, I won't tell him that, so don't even bother. We do have an email for people that really can't stand the show. It's only a 10-second email, and it's, "Gee, I really don't like the David Spoon Experience. I wish they'd get rid of it," on kaam.com@gmail.com. And it only has 5 more seconds. Oh, it expired. I'm sorry. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. Do you like that one? That's good.
That's why there's an on and off button, folks.
Is that the power button?
Yes. You can turn it right off and come back.
Turn it right on. We used to say that. And as we get bigger, we will get bigger. We're going to get to that place where we do that. Where it's like, if you don't like the show or what we're talking about, there's a button. It's like, look, we want it to be a blessing for you, but you know, we do the best we can. Don't forget, Johnny is, are you the president, originator, and owner? Do we say your wife is the co-president? How do you guys say it? How do you say in regards to Men of God Moving? How do you say it?
Founder.
It sounds like a fish. Men of God Moving. Founder. Get it? 817-707-7672. They're also on Facebook, Men of God Moving Christian Movers. If you type in Men of God Moving Christian, you're going to find them one way or another. We're going to get into some theology, but first we have a trivia question. Johnny's wanting to give money away. Not this trivia question, though. The next one. We're going to do 2. And we're going to give money away. You don't have to do that all the time. So one of the things I'm getting away from, because I'm broke, so I can't keep doing it. But here is the trivia question that I do have for you. Lydia, in the book of Acts, Lydia was a seller of what? Oh, you didn't think I was going to drop something easy, did you? Lydia was a seller of what? If you don't know, but you really think you want to get into the trivia mode, I will give you another trivia question if you call in and say, okay, I do want to do trivia, but not that one. Because that's not easy. That's a tough one. Lydia, she sold what? She sold what in the book of Acts? She was a seller of, and I'm going to leave it right there, our number 972-445-0770. That's a tough one. So I just want to see if somebody can respond to that. So as you know, I do a perusal of different shows. And excuse me, I always find it fascinating when people tell me what Jesus said about Jesus but don't use Jesus's words. It's like the Christian thing. So you got like Christmas, which has the word Christ in it, of course, and then people are trying to take the Jesus part, Christ part out of Christmas, which, of course, makes no sense. That's how you get the winter holiday. And then additionally, you'll have people that say that they're Christians but don't have a clue as to who Jesus is. Now, I have a problem with that because that doesn't make any sense. Just by definition, just using a dictionary, a Christian is somebody who follows the teachings of Christ. So in order to be a Christian, you would kind of have to, from a dictionary point of view, you kind of have to know what the teachings of Christ are in order to follow the teachings of Christ. These are the things that keep me up at night. That and electric bills that do seem to be going up at a rapid pace. With that in mind, oh, somebody's calling in, which might mean a trivia answer. Hold on. We're going to give them an opportunity. Give them a small spot. But they're on hold, and here we go. Here we go. Hang on. We ready? You ready? Is there a phone? There it is. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Salvador again.
Hey, Salvador, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Boy, that's a couple days in a row. That's good. I'm really glad you're enjoying the show. I'm really blessed by that. That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm actually listening on my lunchtime, so.
Wow.
It's great. That's a great time.
That's a very big honor for us, and we appreciate that. All right. Are you ready for the trivia question for Lydia? Do you feel pretty comfortable?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm going to take a shot at it.
Okay, take a shot at it. Well, Lydia sold what?
Property.
What is it?
Property?
No. Lydia sold. No, that's not. That's not. That would not be it. She didn't sell property. She sold a particular color of linen. Do you remember what color it would be?
No, I'm off. I'm really off.
Okay, that's okay. You know what you get when you cross red and blue?
You get purple,
right?
Purple.
She was a seller of purple. That's what she used to sell. I know, it's amazing. Don't worry about it. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember what Jesus' first miracle was?
Oh, yeah, wine.
There you go, brother. You got it. There it is. That was an easy one. That's one for three. And just keep in mind, if you were hitting one for three in the major leagues, you'd be making $50 million a year. So that's pretty good.
Wow.
Just think of it in those terms. Good job, my friend. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. All right, Salvador. Isn't that fun?
That's awesome.
That's a tough one on the purple. People are like, what? All right. Let me get into this or we'll never get there. See how fast the show goes? It's incredible. Okay. Jesus said some things about himself, and I think they're important to understand because there are people that say Jesus never said he was the Messiah. Those people are incorrect. He said he was the Messiah about 11 times. People said Jesus never said that he was God. You're incorrect. He said he was God about 28 times. Let's just use two just to make it easy. In John chapter 10, verse 30 through 33, it says, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. You see why they were going to throw stones? They were going to throw stones because they were saying that Jesus said he was God, because Jesus did make that declaration that he and the Father are one. So, yes, he said he was God because, wait, get this, he is God. And when you miss this, then you come up with Jesus as just a moral teacher. Have anybody ever say to you, well, he had some really nice things to say. Has anybody ever said that
to you? Absolutely.
What do you say when he's a moral teacher? What's your initial response?
I always go back to the Word of God.
Okay.
And I go back to the Word of God, and I pull out everything that indicates that Jesus was far more than just a moral teacher.
Yeah. I mean, as a moral teacher, he taught he was God. So.
Amen.
From a morality point of view.
So indirectly, they're saying he's a liar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And that's an important point because that was one of the things that was written by Josh McDowell, that Jesus is either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. Only one of those three based on all the things that he said. Excellent point. Good job. Amen. On that. The other thing that Jesus said was to the woman. So people said, well, he didn't say he was the Messiah. In John chapter 24, verse 25 and 26, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When the one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he.
Wow.
I don't know. Do you think that's a declaration that he's Messiah?
Amen, brother.
I mean, it's hard to – okay, I'm the guy. Who robbed the bank? I did. Well, it's not him. Isn't that strange that people are like, they don't see that? Why do you think they do stuff like that? Why do you think they deny it? Do you think they deny it because they don't want it to be true?
It may be. It may be. I find it – sometimes it's difficult to understand the logic by which people make statements like that. It does not make any sense. It clearly – the Bible is really clear. It's a simple read. If you ask God to give you revelation, you simply ask him. It's not complicated at all, and so it doesn't really make sense. It's a mystery to me.
It amazes me. I think those people should really stick to selling ice cream more than anything else, because it amazes me that they'll make statements like that as though it's anybody can say something authoritative, right?
Right.
I have 16 ears on my forehead. I mean, I could say it authoritative. It just doesn't make it authoritative. I do have two really big ones. But I mean, that one thing has nothing to do with the other. Here's the thing. People make claims about what Jesus said. That's not – your job is not to sit there and support or even disprove. You know what your job is and my job is? And you know what Johnny's job is? To read what Jesus had to say so we know what Jesus had to say.
The truth.
I mean, you're right. Exactly. And if you're like a person that's like, well, this person said this. Well, this person said this. But did you ever play telephone line when you were a kid? Did you ever play telephone line when you were a kid?
Didn't
telephone line is when you say one thing and then you pass around a group. And by the time it gets to the end of the group, it's something completely different. That's what people are really good at. Have you ever done that? Wonder if you've ever played telephone line? Come on. You never played telephone line as a kid?
No.
I can't be the only person in this studio who's played telephone line where you say something, it goes around in a circle, and by the time it gets to the other person, it's something complete. It's like a secret that you pass all the way. I'm the only person that's done that? That's it. I'm moving to Pluto. As long as they keep Pluto a planet. Oh, wait, they deplaneted it. That's the ultimate humiliation, by the way. How can you be a planet and then now you're no longer a planet? That's really sad. Yeah, those are the things I think about. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is what I have to say about Jesus is cool, but it's what Jesus has to say about Jesus. That's what counts, because every time you get a secondhand, third-hand, fourth-hand account, you don't know what's going on. And if you're wondering, well, is the Word of God real? I will just settle that real fast for you. Ready? He created the universe. He can write a book. Okay. God created the universe. He can write a book. Okay? There's the logic. Stick with that. Take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? She said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Also, the website, davidspoonmedia.com. Hanging out with me is Johnny Hill, Men of God Moving. So if you have any moving needs or anything going on, get in touch with Johnny. Get a chance to talk to him. You can say, is Dave really that weird in person? He will tell you yes. Okay, there you go. MenOfGodMoving.com. Also, Men of God Moving on Facebook is a good way to do it. That's a good way to connect as well. Their phone number, 817-707-7672. You better remember that because in the – not this segment, but in the next segment, we're going to do trivia, and he's giving away $25. Come on. $25. That's do you know how many? I just want to ask Wonder Julie this. She's going to really cry. Do you know how many McRibs that is?
I do not.
Aha, it's 8 McRibs because they're 4 for $6 or 2 for $6. So I'm just telling you.
You can have all of them.
I know. It's so bad that I like stuff like that. It's terrible. I know the Lord's going to go, you're coming home because of that. I mean, that's part of my struggle right there. All right, we're going to talk about mercy for a little bit. And the reason that I want to talk about mercy is because a lot of people forget that God is rich. I'm going to stop. He's rich in mercy. Do you get that? In other words, God is, of course, he's wealthy. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. People have quoted that passage before. Of course, other people have said, I only want one male, one female. And then that's all I'm looking for. I get it. But here's the bottom line. What God tells you, especially in the book of Ephesians, is he's rich in mercy. I want to pull this again out of Exodus because I think it's cool. And then I'm going to kind of ask Johnny to kind of give me his take on this. So this is Exodus 25:20. It says this, the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned towards the mercy seat. So the cherubim are representing what God sees, and the cherubim are seeing one another. They're looking at the mercy seat. So what they're seeing is mercy, and that's a picture of what God sees. When you, Johnny, think of the mercy of God, what kind of moves, what do you think of? Do you think, I mean, your testimony is amazing. What do you think of when you think of the mercy of God?
You hit it right on the nail. I think of my own testimony. I think of the type of man I used to be. And I think of a merciful God that would forgive someone like me all the bad things I did before and spare my life and give me another chance.
Do you think that people reject that mercy?
Oftentimes.
Here's a follow-up question to that, because I think it's a fascinating question. It makes me think of other questions, kind of like the right. process. Do you think sometimes as Christians we receive the big mercy, which is like, you know, okay, you get saved, and then you're like, okay, now I'm a Christian, cool. But then in situations we're less likely to receive mercy, I think one, because some Christians don't feel worthy to get it a second time, or they just feel like, well, I was cleaned up into the point of saying yes to Christ. Now what the situation is, you know, kind of thing. Do you think
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. Because initially, that's the beginning process. That's just the beginning process. The real mercy really starts as you go through your walk, and God starts to clean you up. God starts to refine you, take you through the fire, so to speak. And as you continue to make mistakes, oftentimes we feel this heavy burden of guilt because of our place as Christians, and we over-concern ourselves with how imperfect we are. But God's mercy extends through that. And so it's a process. We have to continue to receive his mercy and continue to grow in Christ.
Yeah, and here's something that's important for people to get, especially when we get into the nitty-gritty on theology. So for those that are newer to the show, let me just – I have a little bit of a background, so I just want to give it to you because it's helpful for you to understand where I'm coming from. So it'll be – on the 30th, it'll be 41 years a Christian. I have a Baptist, a Pentecostal, and a Charismatic ordination – actually three ordinations – and then a fourth, but I wouldn't pay the money. So the answer was no. I have a BA degree in leadership and ministry, summa cum laude, and a master's degree in theological studies. Why that's important for me is because my big concentration is on salvation. And salvation is a three-tenths or three aspect element. You are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Those are all accurate, all together. Judicially, you are saved. Practically, you are being saved, being turned into the image of Christ more and more. And then eventually, when the whole program, shooting match is done, so to speak, we will be away from all the present sin and evil, and then you will be saved yet in the future. Mm. So these are the ways. It's the past, present, and the future. It's penalty, power, and presence. So right now, we're saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. We will be saved from the presence of sin, which is really kind of a cool way to think about it. And what happens for some of us is we say yes, we get saved by grace, received through faith. We're saved, and we receive the mercy of God. And after we're a Christian – and after a little while, maybe an hour, we mess up. And then you, I just got saved. I was washed. And look, and if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, the real personal application, what happens is some people get saved, and then they commit a huge, either a huge amount of sins or really high-quality sins that really make them bear that guilt. Well, here's the thing you need to get. That the forgiveness of God was not up to the point where you said yes. Okay? It's not like, well, God said you're forgiven to this point, but no more. Okay, that's just bad theology. Okay, that's not how God operates at all. You're forgiven all the way through. But what happens is you hold on to those things that you commit afterwards, and they suck the life out of you. And you hold on to them, and they drain you. And Psalm 32 talks all about the draining of sin. David compares it to being tired in the heat of the day. Mm. Like your water on, you're just exhausted because it just takes everything out of it. That's why if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You want to get that washing taking place. It won't have any impact on your ultimate salvation, but it'll have a huge impact on your walk day to day, your walk week to week, month to month, and your functionality and your presentation to the Lord as an instrument of righteousness. If you're just thinking you're so messed up, you won't present yourself. I'm not presenting myself. I'm a mess. Hey, you know what's really funny about that? God uses messes all the time, right? Paul was involved in murder. It's like nobody's. I don't want to touch that. The 10-foot ball. Hey, that's not. I didn't write the book. All my stuff's at least 2,000 years old. I've said that before. Here's the bottom line in that: the mercy of God is extended to His people, and He sees us through mercy. What happens for too many Christians is you see yourself through mercy to a point. Well, the answer is get God's glasses, not your own, because His mercy is wealthy.
Mm.
It has purpose. It will help you. You know what I'm saying? People do that all the time. They bog down. I mean, people do this. It's like, look, John Mark did a horrible thing. He abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their Paul and Barnabas on their journey. Oh, it was a bummer. John Mark left. Paul was so mad at him, he didn't want to hang out with him. That, by the way, is the same John Mark that wrote a gospel afterwards called Mark. How'd he do? Pretty good afterwards,
pretty good.
Right?
Pretty good.
I mean, that's pretty good stuff. Millions of people have come to Christ because of the gospel of Mark. That's like, wow. So God can take you where you're at. Yes, you've probably messed up, but you know what? Own it. Bring it. Own it. Say, you're right. I did it. Wash me. Make me clean. Get me clean. I'm saved. Get me clean. Get me all this yucky stuff out of me.
Amen.
And let's get rock and rolling. Right?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, brother.
I want to make sure I'm not losing my mind. That's why I brought Johnny in today. He's got a Dave loses his mind meter. All right. So we got a couple more minutes. So we're going to get the trivia set up for you. So the trivia question, we're not going to have any rules on the trivia question because we're way past our time, right? We're past rule time. Aren't we past rule time? Oh, yeah, we're past rules. But, I mean, we don't have any – anybody is available, whoever makes a call, so get ready.
Right. We don't have anybody on the list that can't win.
That's right. That's right. Anybody can win this question. It is a $25 question. We're going to go with your first trivia one.
I thought you were going to say 25-part
question. It's a 25-part trivia question. The first part starts in the Hebrew. Good luck. Here we go. Everybody's ready. Now, I know what some people are going to do, no matter what. I don't care. You've dialed because our number here is, what is our number? It's 972-445-0770. And some people have everything dialed except for the zero. I'm spitting on Johnny, by the way. I didn't have my coffee. That's my problem. I didn't have my calm me down coffee. It's not calm me down coffee. I just call it that. Here's our trivia question. We got a couple minutes, and it is one that Johnny picked out. Who? And that is three. It's a three answer, three person answer. Who? And you're gonna have to hang on because we're gonna take a break, right? I'm doing that on purpose. Stalling on purpose. Purposeful pause. Who witnessed? Who witnessed the discussion between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Who witnessed? Now, there's more than one witness. Who witnessed it? Our number, 972-445-0770. We are going to have to probably take our break. Is that about right? Yeah, we're going to take our break. So you're going to have to hang on. If you're hanging on, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667. or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Fake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Not wanting to miss a moment. Talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that he's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station. Our phones have been going crazy. You know what's going to happen, don't you? We're just going to grow, and it's going to be fun. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Darlene Weinberg.
Hi, Darlene. How are you?
I'm super.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're super. Are you excited? Because the odds are pretty good you're going to win $25, and that's nice, huh?
Yes, I was calling on the other one, but I had dialed the wrong number. The other question about the purple goods.
Okay, with Lydia selling purple?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. That was a tough one for Salvador. I mean, that's not an easy. If you just say it the way I said it, I probably could have phrased it better. So I take a little bit of blame for that, but it's okay. He'll have the opportunity to win in different times. Then he got the wine right away, so I was happy about that. All right, are you ready for this one? Here we go.
I am.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. All right, who witnessed the discussion, the talk, the get-together, the transfiguration between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus?
Okay, it's the inner three, Peter, James, and John.
Correct, ma'am. You are the winner. That is right.
Well, I know what I'm
going to
do with it. Do the Lord's work.
Yeah, well, you use it. You know, the best thing in the world you can do is bless somebody with
can
it.
Can I donate it to your ministry?
You can do anything you want. There is nothing
I
want
to donate it to your ministry.
You are so nice. I should have said it was $1 billion. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, the Lord can bring that in, too.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice. Now, you know what I find fascinating? I'm just going to take a minute to talk about that. You got Moses, you got Elijah, and then you have Jesus there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Isn't it amazing that they knew who it was, even though they didn't have a picture of like Elijah, they knew who it was.
Yes, and when we get to heaven, we're going to know as we are known.
That's right.
You know, we're going to know. Yes.
Exactly.
Don't ask me how, only God knows.
Exactly correct. You are 100% correct. Good job on that. Way to pick up on that and just hammer that home. That is exactly my point. It's going to be so awesome. It's going to be fantastic. And one preacher I heard, now listen to this, I had not heard this before, so this is kind of a new one. But because Moses didn't really get to see the promised land because he smacked the rock, this preacher mentioned, you know, in the Mount of Transfiguration, maybe he got a peek.
Yeah.
Maybe he got a peek then. Like, ooh, that's good. That's good, you know? I like it, but regardless, he's probably got a pretty nice view. That's what I'm going with.
Yes, he got to see it anyhow, didn't he?
Exactly.
He didn't go in, but he saw it.
Yeah.
But let me, you know, I got a question.
Sure.
Okay. God buried Moses on the mountain.
Correct.
Okay, and the devil disputed over the body of Moses.
Correct.
Okay. Was Moses resurrected?
No.
Okay.
Good question.
Spiritual body?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you what the theological answers are. I'm not going to tell you this is the answer. I'm just going to give you the things for you to review. But there was a dispute. So you had Michael, the archangel, and Satan having a dispute about the bones about Moses. And then there was a question, did he resurrect? The bigger consensus is that had Israel found the bones of Moses, they would have worshipped the bones and had another idol to add to their list. And I've always thought, being a little bit flavorful for the Jewish mindset, that I could see that really easily happening. I could just see them going, oh, look, we have the bones, and then they just start worshipping that. You know, it's like...
Absolutely, like they did the brazen serpent.
Exactly. So you get this idea that, yeah, I think that it was removed because it just would have created a lot of problems
How did Moses appear on the mountain of transfiguration?
Because that...
In a spiritual body?
Well, therein lies, how will that body be? How will those resurrected body bees? And what we know it's a mystery, but we know one thing. It's enough like the old body that there's a distinct that you can tell, right?
Yeah.
So it's close enough, but I would think if he wore glasses, maybe he wasn't wearing glasses. That's what I go with.
I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to say entertaining, but you're a merry heart doeth good like medicine. There you go.
Oh, that's what a blessing to hear that. That's so nice for you to say that. So, well, I'm going to have Wonder Julie get your. Oh, you already got the information. She's so fast.
Yeah, she got the information, but like I said, I want to donate it to your ministry.
Yeah, you're so nice. That's so nice of you. Really is. Thank you for that blessing.
Okay.
All right.
Continue the good work.
Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you, sweetheart.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Well, we're never going to get to our last thing because that doesn't. Isn't that nice? So I like that when people do that. And listen, folks. Well, now listen, because I know there's people out there. Okay, we want to be able to give. I mean, who does? I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. And we will keep working towards that because I think it's a lot of fun to do. And then I get to talk to you guys, and that's always. Just a great, one of the best parts of what I do, and one of the best parts of what Johnny's getting involved with me is just listening to people talking, getting connected. That's cool. It's the body of Christ. This is our fellowship. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out. In fact, I just saw an article. I got to go on this one. I just saw an article from a newspaper that was less than favorable to Christians. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it there. And their whole argument was that their definition of a church was a building. And that was their argument, that the church is a building. The church is a building. And it's like, first of all, that's not even what the word church means. Ecclesia means called out. So it's not only is it not a building, but geographically a building, it never has been that thought of in those terms. And even when Jerusalem had a Mecca center, you know, kind of going on there, they didn't think of that as the only place to go. That was a place where they made theological decisions, and it probably was the school of the first seminary. It's probably accurate. But the ecclesia, it's all of us. You're called out. You're part of the church. When the church became four walls, the church became dead. Whatever church is just four walls is dead. Jesus said, go all into the world and make proclamation of me. That's the commission. So the commission isn't limiting people into a building. The limitation is us being presenting ourselves to be used by God to advance that gospel. It's just a really, you know, and then the article. Yeah, those articles irritate me. I probably should skip on that altogether. We'll just skip that. All right, so I want to give Johnny, because I've taken up most of his time. I'm good at that. Just a couple of minutes. You got about 2 minutes. You got anything the Lord's been showing you, working on you, just really challenging you or uplifting you? Anything in particular going on?
Well, you and I talk a lot about the brokenness, and you gave me the book to read, which I thank you very much. And I've been reading that, and that's something that I'm still dealing with. And I for people out there that are dealing with ministry, maybe not on the level of being a pastor, but maybe in your circle of friends, maybe you're teaching a Bible study, and sometimes things just don't go the way you think they should, and sometimes you may just fall flat on your face. Just know that God will work through those times in order to refine you and mold you and shape you. And sometimes you may feel completely broken, but the premise, the idea behind that, is to rebuild you in his image. And so I encourage everyone out there that's going through that process to stay focused on the cause, stay focused on the commission, and stay in the race. Stay in the race. Don't give up. God has a plan.
Excellent.
Amen.
Yeah, it's great. Amen. It's fantastic. I mean, that's an excellent way to end it. Really good. That book that I gave him is that the Tale of Three Kings book?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Gene Edwards, Tale of Three Kings.
Highly recommend it.
It's a flavorful read, but once you read it, you'll go, yikes. That's all I got for you. Yikes. You know, if you've ever gotten with somebody that's kind of really difficult to get along with, and you read this book, you're going to go, uh-oh. That is the truth. That is the challenge. All right, folks. Love you guys. And just want to be a blessing for you. We want this show to be a blessing for you. And we don't know what the Lord's going to do with it, but we're going forward in it, and we're hoping Amen. It expands in time and in reach. And
Amen.
We hope you're always a part of it, okay?
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks, Johnny, for hanging out with us. Appreciate it,
God
brother.
Bless you too, brother.
All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.